Good morning. Let's get started. We're starting a couple minutes late today, and I apologize, but Nicole's going to call the roll, and we're going to do the roll a little bit differently this morning and from now on. We're going to organize by units, and we're going to just announce which unit we're calling so people get familiar. A lot of people forget which unit they're in and what number they're associated with, and hopefully this will allow you to identify the other people in your unit to be able to communicate with them a little better, and also helping us to identify who's an alternate and who is voting, and so we can quickly establish a forum. So we're going to try to do that and see how it works.
Joella Sparks
here.
Maria Russell
here.
Robert Mackey.
Evelyn Pinsgaard.
Sarah Batis. Is it on or?
It's cut out a little bit.
Is that? Is that any better?
Yeah.
All right. Sarah Battiest. Jody Baxter.
Here.
Brian Erb. Debbie Gonzalez.
Here.
Kayla Hansen.
Here.
Sean Houston.
Here.
Carolyn Simmons.
Here.
Gary Newman.
Here.
Ben Tucker. Mary Sue Dates.
Present.
Claudia Coach Goddard.
Yep.
Okay. Jennifer Ward.
Here.
Mayanna Bean. Naomi Horn. Heather Lavengood. Kate Sunwood.
Here.
Dawn Derringer. Robin Wynant.
I'm here online.
Forrest Cooper. Carol Shafford. Bradley Crick.
Here.
Walker Wheeler.
Here.
Kat Williams.
Here online.
Travis Brinzo.
Here.
Gary Bender.
Here.
Richard Machida. Are there any alternates that are present?
I am. I'm Britton Anderson. I'm here for Unit 15 voting in place of Richard Machida today.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Jennifer Elhard, Unit 6. I believe only have one representative for Unit 6, and that's Gary Newman. So I might be voting in place of Ben Tucker.
Correct.
Shelby Empenauer.
Any others?
Nicole, this is Robin Wine, and I just want you to know I can only be on the audio for about an hour today.
Okay, thanks.
So everybody online has signed in. Is there anybody that we missed?
Dawn Derringer just joined.
Thank you, Dawn. We have you.
Thanks.
Great. Well, welcome, everybody. If you could take a look at the agenda, are there any additional items that we'd like to add?
I had a couple items on.
Actually, I have one. This is Walker Wheeler. I suggest we postpone the discussion of the item down in unfinished business. Oh, sorry. I read the wrong agenda. Never mind.
This is Debbie Gonzalez. I just want to
mention the winter warm-up activities and push that a little bit at some point.
Okay, thanks, Debbie. Why don't you say something at public comment? Would that work?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
With respect to the agenda, I noticed that the communication committee was a committee and probably should be under ad hoc committee.
Yes. Thank you.
And I had wondered on the governance reports if there was a reason we left off faculty senate.
Only because they couldn't be here today, but I think in the future we can just leave them on and then
note that they're not here.
No report. Yeah, thanks. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is Nicole trying to be on top of everything? So.
I appreciate that.
Kate?
For the external, I don't know if you can hear me, for the external report, it was a late attachment that should be attached to the accreditation steering committee, just so people realize that there is that report back there, attachment 220-7.
Okay, thanks. Any other changes? Okay, I'll accept a motion to amend.
Move to amend.
Second.
Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to minutes.
My understanding is the minutes aren't ready yet, so I'd move to postpone.
Okay. When we will. I'm sorry. That was probably my shortcoming, and we will.
37 pages. Do you think there would be some minutes in there?
Yeah.
But
okay.
No,
then we will get minutes out immediately. I'm sorry. That I'm sure it's my fault. So
no, don't worry about it.
We'll make sure we do that.
Okay.
So we'll postpone that until the next meeting. Make sure that you guys get all those today. Status of pending actions. There are no pending actions currently, so we'll move on to public comment. And I know that we have a couple people who would like to talk at this time. So come on up. Come up to the microphone.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. My name is Lael Old Mixon, and my husband Mark Old Mixon, many of you might know, and I were tapped to head up the United Way campaign for UAF. We're not the leaders for the Tanana Valley. We're just hoping to get the UAF community engaged and involved in the United Way campaign this year. In previous years, you might remember, Forrest Carr has been involved and Ann Ringstad. And ultimately, it becomes a big university community involvement to make this a success. Our goal this year is to hopefully increase the number of participants giving to the United Way. What we're doing is in October, we will be setting up meetings with individual departments and units to talk a little bit more in depth about how you can give or how employees can give. And so if you do get that call or if you want to set up an appointment to have Mark or myself or the chairs of the Tanana Valley United Way campaign come in and talk to you about what this entails, then we would absolutely love to do that. I have brought a few brochures, which I'll pass around, maybe this way. Looks like it's going to be the best. but a few things I want to just mention. UAF will be sending out pledge forms through HR to every department through the PPAs. So employees will have the opportunity to give directly to the United Way using those pledge forms. The pledge forms will also have you can choose one of 23 agencies if you want to give directly, or any 501(c), I think it's, or 503, whatever it is, whatever it's called here, 501(c)(3) organization in the state of Alaska. So if your favorite organization is not listed as one of the 23 member agencies, that's okay. You can designate an agency of your choice. UAF is also considered a 501(c), and so we are encouraging employees who are planning to give to the university anyway to give through the United Way campaign and to make that donation fairly streamlined. For me, the United Way campaign is just a positive thing for the Fairbanks community, and it's a positive thing for UAF. It's a good opportunity for us to show our support for the people of Fairbanks and for the community. I guess that's all I have to say about that. So if there's any questions, you can feel free to call me or email me. I'm at 6679 or l.o@alaska.edu.
Thanks, Lael. Are there any questions for Lael right in this body? Well, thank you for taking this on, and thanks for joining us today. Debbie, did you want to say something about winter warm-up?
Yes. I just wanted to encourage everybody to go through their closets this weekend and clean out any old winter gear and sports equipment you're not using and donate it for the winter warm-up for the students, which is the student version of the free cycle sale on October 1st. Drop-offs will be between 9 and 11 at Wood Center. And if it's okay, I'll send some information out to people with posters to put up in your areas, if you don't mind.
That's great. Anybody have any comments or questions for Debbie?
And I will, on a limited basis, for people who can't drop off on Saturday, if they want to get a hold of me, I'll collect a little bit of stuff on Friday, maybe.
And Debbie, when is winter warm-up? Obviously October 1st, but what are the times?
Okay, the drop-off is 9 to 11. Wood Center opens at 11, and the students are invited to come in and pick things out between 11 and 1.
And Debbie, besides winter gear and sports gear, we're allowed to drop off like small appliances like coffee makers and things like that, correct?
Correct. And I even think, you know, it's winter gear oriented, but if you had clothes, you know, in good shape, I think that would be welcome as well.
Okay, thank you.
And any leftovers go to the closet collection folks, so it's, you know, it goes to a good thing no matter what.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on to officer's report. I have the president's report is attached. I'll just kind of quickly go over some of the highlights because you can all read it. The communication committee that we had asked for volunteers to attend has started. John Clendenin, who couldn't be here today, has offered to head that up, and I'm appreciative that he's doing that. I think that's a critical information to get out to all of you and talk about as a group about how we best want to communicate. And I know we've been over this before, but it doesn't seem that we have maybe the best methods in place yet. So I'm looking forward to having good conversations about that in that committee and then having some suggestions brought forward to the group for how we best communicate both out and solicit information to bring back from our constituents. And then also working with the administration, I think there's a lot of things that we could be doing better, and it's one of my commitments this year to try to address some of those details. Committee membership, I think we have a good list now for our staff council for who is a rep and who is an alt and what the empty seats are, and that's taken Nicole a bit of time in the last month to verify those things. But I think we're finally at a really nice. We finally have a good base who's doing what, and also with the committee memberships. So toward the end of the meeting, there's a few committees that still need representation from staff council, so we'll be going over that and just confirming that everything's correct there. As I mentioned earlier about roll call, we're going to try to do it a little bit differently and kind of identify the units in hopes of reminding people what unit they're representing, but also reminding people who the other reps are in their unit, because we want to, I think the idea is to establish better communication between among the units so you can be better at getting information out to people and not duplicating. So, and also being able to identify quickly if we have a quorum or not, just trying to input some efficiencies into the beginning of the meeting. The three most pressing issues, I think, are compensation, our benefits, and then communication. And to that end, we're talking about compensation today. I'm going to let Maria talk a little bit about that and some work that Staff Alliance, a lot of work that Staff Alliance has been doing. Healthcare will continue to be important with proposed changes coming up this year, and that's something that we need to address this first semester. The employee tuition waiver, I know Staff Affairs is working on. So those are kind of the big issues, and you can read my report, but I'd also like to give Maria time to talk about some work that's being done at Staff Alliance on our behalf.
Okay, so I passed out the draft recommendation for compensation increases. We are finalizing this. The Staff Alliance Compensation Working Group will be finalizing this today at 11 a.m.
Hold a little closer.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the Staff Alliance Compensation Working Group has done up this draft recommendation. They are currently recommending a 3.5% increase. The Board of Regents placeholder is currently 2.5. In the letter, we can justify a 4.6% increase, but understanding the current economy, we're recommending a 3.5% increase. The group did send out to Alliance a call for an email campaign to the Board of Regents. As I'm sure you guys know, you have to be on site to testify. Joella will be at the Board of Regents meeting, and she will testify on behalf of all UA staff. But we're trying to do an email campaign, and we asked the leaders, and Joella and Tips, I'm sorry if an email's already gone out to this group. Could you guys forward that on, the email campaign recommendations? Because it was sent to Staff Alliance, so in theory it went out to all staff yesterday. With the instructions on how to send your concerns about compensation, and we're really trying to get the Board of Regents to acknowledge, yes, staff really want this. So if that hasn't been sent out, maybe it can be sent out.
Yeah, I got it last night, so I'll make sure Nicole has it, and we'll get it out today.
Okay, so hopefully that'll come out shortly. And so if you have personal stories or if you want to just say, yes, you know, we really support this, please move forward. We would hate to see staff lose additional ground in compensation. If you have any comments on the letter, please let me know. We do have to finalize it by 11 a.m., so I will be leaving today to finish that.
Gary.
Just a real quick comment, just briefly going through this. The statement where it says there's a perception that the University of Alaska recent lag in pay increases has hindered. If you have documentation or something, they're going to blow that one off. It's just a perception, doesn't mean fact. So we have some documentation to back that up. But somehow, I mean, it's just a comment. We don't have to discuss that one. But
That one, so my co-chair, Erica, and I worked on this last night until 8 p.m., and we finished it. But there is this idea at the Alliance level that we're losing ground on compensation, and we really could not identify it because I'm a very quantitative person. Like statistics, I can win any argument with that. But in comparison, and we do talk about state increases and other increases, and we talked in part about different union increases, and those are definitely quantitative, but it's hard to compare ourselves with those groups because they have other benefits associated with it. And so we wanted to include that statement because so many people keep saying, you know, we're really losing that ground.
Well, then you could say we are concerned that, as opposed to the poster. Just a perception isn't a very strong word when you're going to the president. That's just my gut level feeling on that.
Hi, Viz Walker online. I have a question for you, Maria. Have you guys been able to go to HR and say how many people, since they stopped doing the annual step increase, have received a raise at UAF that was not COLA-related?
We have asked for that data. Actually, we asked for a lot of data, which we haven't received yet, but this group just started meeting at the end of last week.
Okay, so it's really hard to do the quantitative until you get that from HR, huh?
Yeah, we did ask for in grades, step adjustments that were not related to promotion, and the frequency and the average amount of bonuses received by each E-class.
Gotcha.
And I've seen data previously. Faculty obviously received significantly higher bonuses. And then just like over, and we've asked for a review of over the past 5 years.
Okay. You also made a comment there related to we could justify a 4.6% increase, but we're only asking for a 3.5%. I was curious whether or not we could work that into support of no change to tuition waiver or health insurance or something else. So that was my only comment on it.
And I think that they definitely could incorporate a lot of the data we're doing with this group into some of those other groups. The tuition waiver has its own group, which in theory has started up at the alliance level.
Excuse me, Maria? This is Mary Sue online. Your voice is really soft. Could you speak up a little bit better, please?
I can.
Thank you.
And eat the microphone. Okay, so Walker, to answer your question, yes, we can incorporate that data with the other groups that are working on that data. Later on this spring, this group will look at compensation as a whole. But our first concern was getting an increase in the Board of Regents budget.
Okay, thank you.
Maria, I have a quick suggestion, actually. This kind of occurred to me. I was watching CNN a couple nights ago, and they were talking about how consumers are the economic drivers of the engines here in Alaska and nationwide. And I wonder if that might serve as a justification point that, you know, more money in staff pockets mean economic impacts on the state of Alaska and beyond. Might be a helpful, especially with the economy downturn that we're still looking at nationwide, might be a helpful justification point.
And the other thing, and I agree, the other thing this group is working on, whether or not we can incorporate that and get it approved by this group before it's due, I'm not sure, but we're actually working on public testimony. We have some people down in Juneau who are willing to go and testify on behalf of all staff, in addition to Joella, who will give the governance report. And I can definitely incorporate those ideas at least in the public testimony.
So, Maria, will you take comments via email in the next? Oh, you need to get it done before we're finished.
The letter we have to get done this morning. If you would like to share something in public testimony and don't feel comfortable enough having your name associated with it, or have a coworker, we have people on site that can say a staff member from Fairbanks, you know, is going through, I have no idea, medical bankruptcy or whatever, and they can share their story without having their name associated with it. So if you can send me that information, I'm compiling all of that stuff through tonight, and I can take it as late as tomorrow at noon.
Great. So I guess to maybe reiterate, if you want to send Maria your thoughts and your stories and testimony that can be read, but also emailing Board of Regents, is that specifically what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I think we'll move on to try to keep to the agenda, but thank you for working on this, Maria. I know that you and Erica have spent a lot of time on this. And
this letter is great.
Yeah, thanks.
It really is. It's solid on so many ways, so thank you for putting that time in.
So we'll move on to Joella and her vice president report.
Oh, and I, too, want to thank Maria for her work on this. It's made my life easier as chair of Staff Alliance. The working group includes from UAF, Robert Mackey and Don Derringer and Maria, and they're serving on behalf of Pips and I and doing a great job leading this effort. Yes, I am flying to Juneau tonight and will testify tomorrow. I want to bring to the attention of the Regents our concerns about the staff increase, but also three other items that are time sensitive: the tuition waiver, which of course is supposed to be in place in January, any changes, potential changes to the health care, which are also supposed to be approved and in place by January. And then finally, the President Gamble's call for a review of policies and procedures of the UA system. He's asked for that from his cabinet, from his vice presidents and directors by January as well. And so I'm getting mixed messages. I've met with a couple of members of his cabinet, and they were not given direction necessarily on how to go about the review of Regents' policies and their procedures. And so I'm poking my head in regularly, and tomorrow I will encourage the Board of Regents to ask that staff governance especially, but all governance, be given direct and clear opportunities to provide input on these changes to recent policy and procedures. So those are the four big things that I'm working on at the Alliance level. I've been working with staff affairs and helping them with their resolutions. Otherwise, I don't have enough to do. Any comments or questions?
I have a quick comment. You mentioned the membership of the Compensation Working Group. We actually have an additional alternate seat open on that committee, so if you guys want to fill it, I'm more than happy.
I need to be attending the meetings anyways. And
I've been ceasing you just
yeah,
so that
so
there was more.
I want to be more official.
Great. Thanks.
That.
Thanks, Naomi.
No other questions then? I think Chancellor Rogers might have joined us.
Yes, I have.
Thank you, Chancellor Rogers.
Can you mute your phones?
I'm calling in from rainy Juneau in preparation for the Board of Regents meeting. We have a system academic council and President's Cabinet this afternoon. And just a couple of items that I wanted to cover. One, most everything that I had to say I said last week in the convocation presentation, but I did want to highlight two items for anyone who didn't have the opportunity to hear that, and that is we're pushing toward an October 1st announcement of changes to the SRC plan to open up more opportunities for faculty and staff to use SRC with university funding support to help cover a portion of those costs. And aiming again for about an October 1st announcement of that. And Mike Powers and I hopefully will finalize the healthy challenge between UAF Fairbanks campus and CTC with Fairbanks Memorial Hospital to try to do what we can to create some competitive funds to try to create new healthy opportunities and help moderate perhaps a little bit of our health care costs. And again, that also aiming for an October 1st or so announcement of that. Joella covered the issue of revisions to Board of Regents policy and university regulation. Coincident that, we probably ought to take a look at UAF specific policies and if there are any recommendations that staff council would have for things you'd like to see in UAF specific policy. We've been trying over the last 2 years to get them codified and up on the web where everyone can see them and clear what isn't policy. And so over the course of the year, as Regents policy and university regulation get amended, we'll also be doing the same with UAF policy. And with that, I think let me see if there are any questions people have that I can try to answer, either regarding items I brought up in the convocation speech or other things going on.
Is there any questions for the Chancellor?
I have a quick question. Are the policies which UAF is now looking at, is there a web page where we can see the progress on that?
Yes, I don't know the web link, but Derek Miller in my office is responsible for maintaining those that we have already codified, I will get that and send it send a staff council just to get it out to everybody.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
As a closing, I'm on my way now down to visit another one of UAF's heroes here in Juneau, having coffee with Marshall Lynn this morning, one of our great chancellors and one who's been very supportive financially of our students, being Lois funded a scholarship fund among others, and I'll be inviting him to come up for the scholarship breakfast next April to join us in celebrating people who give back to the university.
Great. Well, thank you for calling in, Chancellor, and thanks for the work that you're doing down in Juneau.
Thank you.
So we'll move on to governance reports. I know Kathy Cahill couldn't be here today, and I think that Robert Kennard may join us from ASUAF. Is Robert here? Maybe he's about to walk in. It'll be good timing. Is that Robert? Perfect timing. So Robert Kennard from ASUAF will talk to us about staff issues, or student issues.
Sorry, I thought the meeting started at 8:30. I'm here on behalf of our president. She's getting ready to go down to the Board of Regents meeting tomorrow, so she couldn't make it today, unfortunately. Right now, we're just at the committees. We're trying to go over the grade policies that Faculty Senate is doing with the incomplete grade changes, and we're trying to just let students know the changes that happened from last year. And most of we really don't have too much with staff and student concerns right now, but we're just getting started this year. We have a new Senate, so we're just getting started with that. Thank you. Sorry for my app for being tardy.
Oh, thank you for joining us, Robert. Did people have questions for Robert? Gary?
Just want Robert, thank you for stepping up and spending time doing this rather than doing schoolwork. But have you had much input from students on the sustainability efforts that's been going on? Just general feedback, sort of thing.
We have had. Lots of feedback last year from the sustainability efforts. A lot of students are on board with most of them. We do have a few students who have questions about implementing solar panels and things like that. We had a couple clubs that weren't too happy about the power plant and going under, so we're dealing with those complaints too, and how we use coal. But there's no other really source of energy that's cost-effective right now. But most of the students are on board with our sustainability efforts, especially since we're the only school, university in the state of Alaska that actually received a gold rating. So that's something to be recognized for. So.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions online? Well, thank you, Robert, for joining us today. We appreciate you being here.
And just a point of information, do you guys' meeting start at 8:30?
We start at 8:45,
okay.
And the governance report start at 9:25.
Okay.
When we were a little ahead of schedule today, so.
Okay.
It was just perfect timing.
Okay.
Thank you. So we'll move on to unfinished business and start with the staff affairs. And Naomi, do you want to give a quick update of where I know staff affairs has been working hard. You guys have a lot of things tasked to you right now, and Jewel and I have been trying to make your meetings as well. But if you want to give an update of where the resolutions are, or the
sure. I have to thank Gary and Jewella and Tips for bearing with me in terms of the paperwork. I know it sounds like a small thing, but in terms of how we document our opinion as a staff council, not just the staff affairs, but what we bring to the table here and what we decide, how that's documented and where it goes is just as important as what's written on that piece of paper. And it's something that has been unclear to me in terms of what documents we should use, motions versus resolutions, the verbiage, et cetera. So thanks for bearing with me, everybody, as we work through that. And the big things that I think are no surprise to this group is that the tuition waiver changes are something that are pretty near and dear to most of our hearts in terms of a benefit. And we've started a Google document that has a lot of really really good statements about why the tuition waiver is so important, and by way of justifying our opinion, not just saying we don't want you to touch it, but saying exactly why and really kind of hashing out some of those justifications in the format of a resolution. And I don't think we're ready to present that today, but there's been a lot of changes into it recently. And so it sounds like Staff Alliance and a few other groups are working on this issue, but the implemented suggest or the changes that are suggested are going to probably go into play by January. So we have a little bit of time, I think, to address the things we don't want to change, which frankly we don't want any of it to change, because it's not justified. If you look at the numbers there, and I know we've had this discussion, so I won't delve into it much further, but we'll be presenting a resolution at the next staff council meeting for you all to review. And I'd be happy to share the Google document prior to that meeting so you can all get a sense of what we've already included. But we're working on that in staff affairs. The health insurance changes, again, you know, I feel like we're sort of beating a dead horse here, but the tobacco surcharge and the spousal surcharge are basically, Carol, I know you have some more information on this, but they're basically scheduled to, you know, to happen. And so it's difficult to feel like we can have a lot of impact on that. But I think that documenting how we feel as staff council is just as important, even if we don't have the power to change those things, because it helps us remind the people we represent that our opinions get documented. We don't just sit in this room, you know, and talk. We actually have paperwork. We have things that get sent to the right desk to show them this is how we feel. And I think that's something that is almost, like I said, almost more important than what we feel, the fact that we're documenting it. So we've got some, I know we've already passed basically motions saying as a group we don't approve the notion of the spousal surcharge or the tobacco surcharge. The exact form that that document takes will likely be transformed into resolution form and will be ready for us to vote on at the next meeting, if that makes sense. And the FY13 compensation increase was one of the big issues that Staff Affairs spent a lot of time talking about at our last meeting. And so I won't spend a whole lot of time on that because I know you've got Staff Affairs on the agenda a few times here, so I'll try to break it out a little. But obviously I think supporting what the Staff Alliance Working Compensation Group suggests is in the best interest of staff council, so that we aren't suggesting different numbers, you know, and basically providing a way out to the administration to simply take whichever number is the lowest. And so I think that echoing what that group is saying is probably what we should consider as a group.
Thanks, Naomi. I think one of the most challenging things for this group is something that we can't affect, and that's the timing of decisions that are going to be made. We had a quick meeting in August just to kind of get our feet on the ground this year, and here it is September, and we, you know, like Juella said, she's going to be at Board of Regents this week to talk about compensation, and it's challenging to kind of start the year running fast. And so Naomi's done a great job. I think we've had two staff affairs meetings in short order to try to get some of this up and going, and it's no small task. So one of the things that we had talked about trying to do is send out the resolution online so we could have this group via email and online or Google Doc or however it works the best make comments to a resolution about compensation, because I think if we wait till the next meeting, the Board of Regents is going to be so far through their process that we may not have the impact that we'd like to. And I have to also say, one thing that I wanted to say earlier is that I really feel like this body, the UAS Staff Council, is ahead of the game compared to where some of the other staff councils are. And I credit that a lot to Juella, having been involved with governance for a long time and understanding what the important things are that we need to pay attention to and the deadlines that we need to heed. And so I think we've got a lot going for us, but I also think that trying to do something online in the next couple of weeks would be a good idea. And Naomi and I have, and Joelle have briefly talked about that, but wanted to get your thoughts about trying to do that in the next week or so to have something prepared in time for it to go on. So if there's any comments, I'd be happy to hear them. I'm sure Naomi would too.
Sounds like a good idea to get it out sooner than later.
Yeah, Staff Alliance meets October 11. The working group letter will go to the Board of Regents tomorrow, but the budget itself is not final until the November 2nd Board of Regents meeting. And between tomorrow and the November 2nd, we have ample opportunity to pepper the Board of Regents and the President with our concerns and recommendations on the increase. So, however, if we have something from this body for the October 11th Staff Alliance meeting, you know, that adds weight to the discussion if all the councils have weighed in, and then we will add to the Compensation Working Group letter to the President and the Board of Regents.
I think we also set the stage for the other MAU staff councils I think they're keeping an eye on what we're doing, especially at the Staff Alliance level when each of the presidents have to give their reports. And when I say that these are the things that we're working on and we actually have a resolution set, that carries a lot of weight, and it, I think, prompts the other staff councils to take heed in what we're doing. So I think it just adds momentum. So if people are happy with this idea of getting together online in the next week, Naomi, how would you like to take comments about the resolution? Do you want to do a Google Doc, or do you want to do email? What's the best?
I prefer to start as a Google Doc, but if we have 35 people, you know, inputting changes into that, that might be a little bit difficult. But maybe I'll just send out a draft document via Google and ask if there are grammatical changes that you make those directly to the document. But if you have maybe larger things that, you know, are more maybe strategy, that you email me separately about those.
So what you can do, you can actually limit it in Google Doc, which is what we finally did with the compensation letter, is we took everyone's editing power away and gave them comment power so they can highlight and add a comment directly in there, so you can actually just go and directly incorporate it, and it still keeps it. You can have conversations and chat, and I can show you how to do that.
Okay. Does that sound okay for everyone? Are you comfortable with those documents? I know I've had a little bit of a learning issue on those, but I think similar to Word and track changes, there are ways of there are some similarities there. So if not, you can just email me. If you look at it and you can't make it work, that's fine. Just go ahead and send me a separate email, okay?
I love that idea of the comments. I think that's really important. I look forward to that.
Just quickly, it seems to me that we have the draft, assuming it will get finalized and we'll get a copy of that, that we can use that as a base and we can say we support this, attach it, and we don't have to do a whole lot of wordsmithing to essentially reinvent the wheel. We can state our support for the items and why if need be, but it could be fairly short.
Good point. Thank you.
That sounds really easy.
I know, right?
We support whatever they said.
That's a really good idea.
Well, and perhaps justifying why we support it. I mean, there are some pieces there that I'll be happy to at least start. And I will send that to Pips. I'll hopefully have that to you by Friday afternoon at the latest. And then so if everybody can just, you know, make sure you keep an eye on your emails for that, okay?
Yeah, that sounds like a very nice combination of tasks there. Yeah, sounds good. Okay, any other questions for Naomi about the resolution? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to Walker and EMR Committee.
Actually, this is what I had misread earlier in our agenda and was going to propose we move it to next meeting since we haven't had a chance to meet.
Okay. We will add you to the agenda for next meeting. Thanks, Walker.
And I'll be signing out in about 10 minutes to join a webinar I have to go to. So.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Bye.
I know John can't be here for the Communications Committee. The Communications Committee... A couple of people who could meet on Monday, which was Gary and myself and Nicole and John, just kind of got the ball rolling, and John stepped up to be the chair for this committee. So just wanted to remind you, I think there's five or six people who have volunteered to be on that, but really if there's more people who would like to be involved, we would love to have you. I can get you in touch with John, or you probably have John's email through staff council, but if you need it, I can get it to you. So If there's anybody who is interested in helping John on that committee, I know he would love the help. And we are a little bit ahead of schedule, so why don't we take a break and
I have just a quick recommendation. Sorry, sure. About the communications group.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if the email campaign that we've all kind of agreed is a good idea, I wonder if that might serve as a good example to get that group kind of thinking about a communication strategy, maybe as it relates to one specific topic. Because I know we all talk about communication and these kind of big, you know, strategic things, but when it comes down to the feet hitting the pavement, I think that might be a good example to say, you know, in this case, this is how communication was handled, and this is how the communication group could help to facilitate that or set expectations or, you know, I'm not sure exactly what form that might take, but again, using a specific example, I think, might be helpful, and since this one is so current, that might be a good place to kind of get those conversations moving.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think there's so many levels of communication that we're talking about. You know, I think communication, you know, from the staff council office out to us and then us out to constituents and getting it back to constituents and Joelle and I's communication with administration, there's lots of levels of communication that all need to work fairly smoothly, and there's so many different ways that we can communicate now I think John's looking for trying to kind of standardize several things, but then also have opportunities for people to create what works best for them. So I like your idea. I do like the idea of some concrete examples. And, yeah, leave it at that. Let communications committee go on. So any other comments before we take a break? Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come back at, I think, if we give ourselves a little bit of extra time, come back at 9:45.
Pips, this is Sarah Batiste online, and I just missed roll call and didn't want to interrupt, but I am here and have been listening.
I'm sorry, you were really faint. Can you talk a little bit louder?
I'm sorry. This is Sarah Batiste online, and I missed roll call and didn't want to interrupt, but I am here and am attending.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Great.
Thank you.
So we'll move on to new business, and we are about on schedule. Start with staff affairs, and Naomi, once she gets settled, talk about some of the issues that staff affairs is looking at in the future and what's happening currently, some of which you know already.
Yeah, I'll try not to be redundant here, so just let me know if you have already heard what you think I'm saying, okay? Staff Affairs met on the 12th of September. Thank you for everybody who was able to attend that meeting. It was an hour and a half, and we got through some pretty good stuff. Most notably, the FY13 compensation increase. We had some good discussion about that, and Robert Mackey had a lot of really maybe out-of-the-box ideas that we spent some time thinking about. But the one thing I wanted to make sure to ask all of you to consider is the supervisor training. The Chancellor asked for feedback on how well it's working or not working in your opinions. And so I wanted to make sure to pose that to all of you to talk to the members in your unit and go ahead and email me or anybody on the Staff Affairs Committee with your input on how effective you think those are. Staff Affairs has determined two actions. One of them is we want to do a brief audit. As I'm sure you know, there are like five or six organizations on campus offering training, both to employees and to supervisors, from everything sort of covering this big gamut. And getting that information all into one place is actually something I think we should consider doing before we begin to make change or suggest changes to the Chancellor. So we're going to be conducting just a short audit on what trainings are offered already. And then making some suggestions for some short-term changes that we think are the low-hanging fruit to say, you know, things that could maybe be quickly implemented, and then also make a suggestion to the Chancellor with a list of longer-term, you know, longer-term changes or suggestions we might have for bettering those programs. And I'm sure you've seen the emails from CommPsych and, you know, Skillsoft has trainings, and there are some questions that we wanted to ask to that I'll probably pose to our guests while she's here about whether or not we're actually confirming that supervisors are taking these classes. Are they taking them in the right time frame? You know, sort of an accountability question about how it's being implemented. And also, I know Maria was going to work with us on drafting some of those recommendations, so thank you to her.
FY13 compensation is something, like I said, we spoke about, and then the emergency closure policy has been drafted and was put to staff affairs group to review. And we have some suggestions and some small changes there, but I'd like to send that out to the staff council group as well and get some feedback from everybody about how they think it, how it reads and how it will be implemented, if it seems to make sense, basically. So those are the new topics I had in terms of new business. Do I have any questions? Cricket, got it.
Thank you. Thanks, Naomi. I know Staff Affairs has been working really hard, and just appreciate all the work that you've been doing. And I think we're off to a great start. I think we're really getting things organized and being able to impact decisions that are being made. So thank you for all your hard work. So staff, we'll move on to Staff Council Forum and Jody.
Hi, as you'll see, we have a lot of agendas coming up that at least by January that we need to get the information out to staff, and I thought it'd be really important to let everybody here know that advocacy can hold forums, Q&As. If you have any ideas or if you're holding any, like I know Kate does some, that we can get the information out to get staff to get there. There's a lot of little details I think staff should know about that maybe they're not hearing or they don't realize that it really will impact them. And just talking to Pip, too, is that Chancellor will also like to hear about things that are happening in the workplace, good or bad, and be able to hold forums with him that so he can hear what's happening at the staff level than what he may get from at the dean or director's committee. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please just email them to me, and we'll get to work. We want to really get the information out to staff in the next 3 months as all these changes start taking place.
I think the idea of a forum is a good one when we can kind of clearly say what is and what isn't, so to speak.
Right. And having
it's hard to know exactly
there.
When that is, but you know.
Right.
Thanks, Jody. So we will be working on getting some forum put together and see what happens. I think those will be really nice for the fall. So moving on to guest speakers, we have Chris Racina, Human Resources Director, here today to talk about a number of things, I think, and answer questions.
I thought Brian Rogers was here earlier, and I sit in the big chair. So I'm here primarily today as a representative of Chancellor's Cabinet. And
excuse me, please speak up. Sorry, Chris.
That's okay. Can you hear me better now? I pulled the microphone closer.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks.
Here primarily as a representative of Chancellor's Cabinet. Since the big ice storm last year, we've been struggling to fashion an emergency leave or emergency closure policy. And so we do have a draft document that we arrived at summer, and that is the document that you all have had a chance to review or at least have in front of you. Maybe you haven't reviewed it in detail yet. But I'm here to receive feedback and get your thoughts and input on the policy. We do want to implement before the next snowstorm, so we are in a little bit of a time crunch, but I hope we have a few more good days before the snow flies. So if you have comments or input, ideas, concerns?
I don't believe it has been distributed to all of staff council. It was distributed to my particular committee, and we have reviewed it, and I have some suggestions.
Okay.
But the overall staff council group, I don't believe, has seen it.
Can we confirm that? Is that the case?
Yes.
We've not seen it.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, maybe we can address the committee feedback now, and if you wish, I could come back. I'm not sure what your processes are, but I can come back and talk again if the larger group would like to review.
Sure.
I don't believe we discussed it in committee yet. We tabled towards the next meeting.
Was it the last meeting?
Oh, was there another meeting
there
in the last
was.
Couple days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
There were a few small suggestions here, mostly from the rural campus. One of the representatives we have from Kotzebue, who suggested, so I have some specific changes here that I'll probably just email to you, Chris, and
okay.
you can review them just because it's, frankly, it's just a matter of nomenclature. But overall, I have a few questions for you, which one of which you already addressed, which is when this is planning on being implemented, so thank you. The second question I have for you is whether or not the emergency response exercise that the university recently went through shed any light on anything that might come out of this policy, if we learned anything from that exercise, or if there's anything that we realized was a weakness for UAF in terms of how we handle emergencies that we should be including here. Because we don't have access to, you know, maybe the results of that exercise other than the generic kind of messages. So.
Well, the primary takeaway for Cabinet with regard to this policy from the emergency exercise was one of communication and how communications would flow. So during the emergency exercise, Brian, Chancellor, and Vice Chancellors were in a command room. And so we learned a lot about how communications would have to flow. And I have to say, during the last ice storm, I don't know when that was, spring, whenever we had all of our difficulties, communication was an issue for us. There were several Cabinet members who were out, couldn't be in the same room. We were all trying to telephone, coordinate with each other. And so we did tighten up our communication procedures as a result of the exercise.
And I don't want to speak for all of staff affairs, but my personal opinion is that the policy is a little unclear. I think I understand the intent, but whether or not that's actually clearly here, I think is the piece I'm missing. And that I've read it, I've tried to read it as many times as I can, but it's running together for me a little bit because the exact policy statement, I'd like to go ahead and just read it so everybody has a sense of what we're discussing here. And this is a 2.5 page document. But the policy statement, as it reads now as a draft, says, the University of Alaska Fairbanks has multiple campuses around the state. The Fairbanks locations, we are a residential campus that will conduct classes, maintain essential services, and remain open for business to the extent possible during severe weather conditions or other unusual circumstances. Employees in the Fairbanks area should be prepared to attend work, even in severe conditions, to the extent that they can safely do so. One of the other questions I have for you is the administrative leave in terms of where that comes in this document. Under procedures, it says, absent conditions requiring the authorization of administrative leave, the following options regarding employee leave may be implemented by supervisors. And this is a list of recommendations of leave options, but under the leave options, none of them are administrative leave. And so I think, again, maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I'm not clear on whether we're saying administrative leave is the first option or the last option.
Administrative leave is the last option. Administrative leave would only be authorized if we had to actually shut down campus.
Yes.
The intent of the policy is to convey that shutting down campus is the very last option the chancellor would ever go to. And that would only happen under very severe conditions, probably not related to weather, but something else. So administrative leave would only be granted if the campus was closed. Otherwise, we would be looking for employees to exercise some other leave option identified in the procedures section.
You know, this is Kat Williams. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Kat.
With administrative leave, now correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't that come out of each individual department's budget overhead?
Yes, it would.
And the part that kind of has a little salt and wounds for a lot of staff what had happened, and not only talking for our department, but talking across with other people across campus, is exempt employees kind of have a leeway, but hourly staff don't, nor do students. And so if the department is willing to implement administrative leave, then what's the issue? I mean, why can't departments do that to take care of their staff to make sure that, you know, they are not having to drive the Richardson 500 with extreme ice conditions and can come into work in safe conditions?
Well, the problem with allowing departments to implement administrative leave is that not all departments can do that. Some departments don't have enough fund one in order to cover the administrative leave that would have to be paid for employees from fund one. Restricted funds can't be used to pay administrative leave. So the issue with that would be some departments might be able to do that who have more fund one or carry forward than others, and we would be in a situation where folks are treated differently across campus depending on which department you were in.
Chris, I have a concern when we have, well, for example, the snowstorm last winter. The state of Alaska was issuing warnings for everyone to stay off the road unless it was absolutely necessary to be on the road, and yet the university turns around and tells us that if we can't make it to work, we have to use annual leave for it. And I just think that is bizarre. We're already being charged for parking services, and now our increase in our health care costs, and then they're telling us that we have to use annual leave if we can't make it to work because of weather conditions.
Unfortunately, that is the case. We have to stay open as a residential campus. So we have students who live on campus who are able to attend classes and carry on business. So we can't, under only very severe conditions, can we actually close campus. We do have to remain open. We did try to address many leave options so that employees have a menu of choices that might work for you. Unfortunately, we can't just say everybody stays home when the weather is bad. I agree that folks probably should not be driving the Richardson Highway when the troopers have a weather warning out there. I used to live in North Pole. But we did want to make, I mean, we feel that many folks can work from home these days. And so we did strongly encourage that as an option with supervisor approval. Another thing that I talked with supervisors about and which I implemented in my own department, because I do have several hourly employees, I allowed them to work overtime up to an amount of overtime that would replace the wages they lost from taking leave without pay. Some of them didn't want to use their annual leave, and I respected that. So that's an option that I encouraged other supervisors to look at. It didn't impact my budget to allow them to work a number of overtime makeup hours in order to make sure that their paycheck wasn't affected. So that's an option that I convey to supervisors. Take a look at this. It doesn't adversely impact your budget. So I did try to address that in a way that would meet all needs, I guess.
And Chris, I respect the fact that you had the level-headedness to offer those options, but that's not something that can be consistently applied. Some departments have just simply say no. You have to use your leave. There are no other options. And those are the employees that probably felt the most wronged in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to make sure we can address almost the extreme of the extreme. We're talking about an extreme situation here, okay? But when you add in the complexities of human behavior, you can come up with 1,000 more ways this could go. And I think a lot of folks felt stuck. You had to do what your supervisor told you, even if it wasn't necessarily what your best option. And so how could we make this policy somehow address those types of differences?
Well, I wanted to ask a question about some language in here that might address part of that. At the end of the paragraph, you said, absent conditions requiring the authorization of administrative leave, the following options regarding employee leave may be implemented by the supervisors consistent with cabinet determination. So my question there is, if the cabinet says to supervisors, we encourage you to allow staff to stay home, they give them leave or flex or overtime, as a supervisor, I have a question about that. You know, am I going to hear from cabinet, this is what we suggest you do, and you have authority to do, and then any staff who have a supervisor that's kind of gone off the deep end and is being a little hard, they can refer back to that cabinet statement? Is that what that language means?
That certainly is what we intended. what filters down to supervisors. I mean, we all know that the communication chain can sometimes be broken or sometimes people hear differently than what's being conveyed. So I'm unaware of any employees who were stuck in that particular situation. I, if I was aware of that, would try to broker something with the supervisor to explain to them it doesn't impact your budget if you let them work X number of hours of overtime in order for them to make up the leave without pay that they took during the absence time.
I mean, this discussion we're having now is not hasn't happened before, and so people didn't realize, Chris, that, you know, hey, that this was maybe not the norm because there was no norm. You know, closing campus is something that has happened, a couple decades, you know.
Right.
And so I think that now there's a lot more information out there and people are aware of their options, but specifically in my unit, a lot of staff who report to faculty, that's where the confusion is because the policies are so different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the folks that have spoken to me about feeling trapped, it was because they were reporting to a faculty member who never received anything from cabinet or from a vice chancellor. They got the same email that we got from the chancellor
mm-hmm.
that said, you know, administrative leave on this day, but then on this other day, it's up to you. And
right.
That up to you is where there was some abuse, I think. Unintentional. I don't think anybody did it on purpose.
No, I don't think we're malicious.
We hadn't crossed this line before. And so, you know, retroactively, obviously, there's nothing we can do. But I guess I just feel like we could flesh out a little bit more and kind of state the obvious. You know, so anybody could pick this up, including a faculty member, and say, okay, I get it. I know what I should do here. Cabinet's going to tell me what the options are.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like a straight line of this, then this, then that.
Well, that's nice in theory, but we know in practice, I mean, a lot of people were out of touch. A lot of people were dealing with home issues. I mean, we all had something happening to us. And then I would ask for your generosity to realize that I'm on cabinet, and we were scrambling. We didn't have a policy. We didn't know it was all of a sudden an emergency. And frankly, some of our cabinet members couldn't even make it to the phone to be with us as we were trying to talk about this. So the last big ice storm made us realize we do need a policy that people can pick up and say, okay, here's how it works. Now, communication flows both ways. So I also expect people to be getting in touch with their supervisors and the higher levels until they find a person who can say, this is what we're doing, if confusion is rampant, you know, below. So in cabinet, it was impossible for us to, I don't want to say it was impossible to communicate effectively, but because we were dealing in real time and we were having hourly meetings to say, okay, what's happening? What's the school district doing? What's the state doing? You have to give us a little leeway and realize that now we are trying to fashion a policy that anyone can pick up and say, okay, here are my options. Now, I do have the overtime option listed as number 4 in the procedures area, number 4 in the leave options. So perhaps
that's for hourly employees, but obviously exempt employees wouldn't have that option.
Yeah, that's my main concern. This is Kat again. My main concern is I appreciate the fact that you guys are trying to get something in writing for the future. I've experienced a lot of positive from supervisors trying to make sure that people are taken care of. But as an hourly staff employee, this is where we differ from exempt and faculty because we are the ones who have to put in the extra hours. We are the ones who have to make up. And I guess that's where some of the concerns that staff employees have. And the fact that, you know, hey, you know, at the time our dean couldn't get off his road, you know. We had a very skeleton crew here, and I did a lot of communications with him over the phone. Some people, their phone lines were down and couldn't get a hold of supervisors via phone either. So it's thank you for recognizing we need something in place, but if you guys can kind of look at the staff hourly portion of it and the effects that, you know, we end up having to go through to make sure we meet all our hours is the part that I think a lot of people were just like, the frustration on our end. I don't know, I don't really have a suggestion for you on how to do that at this time, but I will definitely email you my thoughts.
Okay.
Chris, I'm totally in appreciation for what's going on as far as addressing this issue now. I think that one of the important things that needs to be addressed is that campus-wide it's treated equally. And I know that if a decision is left up to a department, then you have a lot of hostilities for directors who allow their employees to take admin leave or whatever, and those that don't. And word does get around. So it needs to be addressed where everyone is treated equally, including faculty and staff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carolyn. I think I would like to encourage everyone as the winter season approaches, and we know the weather in Fairbanks has changed. I've lived here all my life. We never used to have ice storms. It used to become cold and stay cold. So maybe it's global warming or whatever, but you all should encourage staff to be having discussions with supervisors once we finalize this policy about what will our department do. And I know that we get warnings that a big storm might be coming, ice might be coming. To the extent you can have discussions and encourage other staff to have discussions ahead of time, people can be prepared. You can have work that you might be able to take home if that's what you want to do. If pay is an issue and you can't work from home, then I would encourage your supervisor to look at the overtime option. Let them make up some hours so that their pay isn't affected. That's important to some people. What's important to other people is I'm just going to stay home with my family. Pay is not an issue to me. So we're trying to address just a range of issues that employees might have. And certainly the proactive discussion in departments with supervisors ahead of time, once the policy comes out, would help everybody to know what to do when it happens. And then if an employee is in the situation that Naomi mentioned, some supervisors just say, I don't care, take leave or leave without pay, someone should give me a call so that I could talk to that supervisor, explain to them the overtime option and how that wouldn't impact them if that's what the employee wants to do. I don't want forced overtime either. So it really needs to be driven by department needs and what an employee can and is able and wants to do during an emergency situation.
I think the leave options that you've addressed here are fair in the sense that you've listed quite a few options. I'm just unclear about, I mean, you say number 5 here says that other options as the chancellor may authorize.
I'm sorry, I said number 4.
Oh,
is the overtime
option. Oh, I know, but if you go through all of those, let's say number 1 doesn't work, number 2 doesn't work, 3 doesn't work, 4 doesn't work, 5, that's where we get to administrative leave authorized by the chancellor. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Again, I would just say stating the obvious might help clarity-wise because
mm-hmm.
it just says other options as the chancellor may authorize, and I would just, you know, maybe such as administrative leave because that phrase, administrative leave, is kind of what, you know, is stuck in people's brains about this. And so, I don't know, I'm not sure if that would tailor it too specific, but again, just something in there saying, you know, we suggest going through these options in each department as it's relevant. But, again, I'm just not sure of the clarity of it. I think the options are fair, and I like that you presented so many of them.
Well, if you would like additional time to make wording suggestions, other wording suggestions, I've taken notes from the discussion today. That's entirely possible if you just all let me know that.
Chris. Go ahead, sorry.
Give me a date so I can convey to Cabinet when we might have additional input.
Yeah, thank you for coming today. And I apologize, I was under the understanding that this went out to everybody, so apparently it just went out to Staff Affairs, and I apologize for that and hope that you will come back once everybody has had a chance to look at it. And hope this was also somewhat useful to maybe to get the ball rolling and set the stage for when people do get the draft, and that will go out today. So I apologize. And
that's fine. I just have one question or maybe an assumption I want to check, but I am assuming that most departments have department staff meetings where this could be discussed.
and supervisors could talk about it. Employees could give their input to the supervisors. So I would encourage that, too.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming.
Before Chris leaves, I know you're probably trying to move along here.
Go ahead, Gary.
I just had a question. Chris, you and I had a discussion about the employee evaluation for supervisors. And just for the edification of everyone else, I was asking the question if the form that supervisors being evaluated, that their supervisor in turn would be checking with subordinates to see, or which I believe the word was strongly encouraged, something. Did that, in fact, was the one that went out to for dissemination as a template?
No, that didn't. So we can add that back in.
Well, it didn't go out.
There are a couple groups that are working on the evaluation form, and I know the one that I sent out did not have that language in there, but I'm happy to add that language back in.
Yeah, I mean, my impression, well, this is months and months ago, that was going out, and I know our group here spent a whole lot of effort on that one. So, yeah, I would say.
And you had contacted me about that, so I just haven't had a chance
yet.
I
understand. That's why. But just for the edification of the rest of council who had worked on that, I thought that those we had worked for almost a year on evaluation forms, and that work was done, I would say, last spring. So I would have assumed that would have gotten carried forth.
I will double check. I mean, I
don't know the process once it leaves us.
I'm in favor of having that language in there. I don't think you can fully evaluate a supervisor unless you do talk to subordinates about how the supervisor is doing.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you again, Chris. And you will be invited back.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to committee reports. And Naomi's up again.
You guys have heard all you want to hear from me today, I'm sure.
Any questions for Naomi? Yeah, I think she's
covered just about everything.
Yes,
already,
ample time to discuss all the things that Staff Affairs is working on, which is a lot. But here's an opportunity to ask about one more time anything that Staff Affairs is working on.
No questions, but I just wanted to say that I just arrived. I apologize, I'm late. This is Robert Mackey.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for joining us. We'll move on to Rural Affairs and Brad.
Please see the attached report and or the meeting minutes, and if you have any questions, I'll take them, but that's all I have today.
Thank you. Walker has already mentioned that they've not met yet. Jody, do you want to talk about Advocacy Committee and your report?
Yep, my report's attached, and we just got some tours coming up, and we'll start lining up some Q&As and forums and stuff with staff.
Great, and maybe soliciting some input about what those forums look like.
Yep.
Yeah, great. External statewide committee reports. Carol, Kat, and Maria are representing Staff Healthcare Committee. We do need one more alternate for that committee if somebody's interested. If you could raise your hand or let me know online, we would like one more alternate for that very important committee.
I'm sorry,
which committee was that again?
What committee that was again?
That was the Staff Healthcare Committee. And so far we have Carol, Kat, and Maria, and we need one more as an alternate. Carolyn?
I'll be an alternate. I'm on the other healthcare committee anyway.
You know what, Robert, since you are booked with lots of other committees, I think we'll let Carolyn do that since she's raised her hand. And
that's fine.
But thank you.
Not a problem.
And I appreciate, and I've heard from several other people appreciate the attached report that I think came from Carol. So it's nice to have those thoughts and help digest a lot of information that happens at those meetings. Carol, do you want to talk about?
We have not met since our last meeting here. We meet tomorrow. I believe it's at 9:00. And Butro 212B, I believe. It's in the notes that I sent out. I sent out the agenda for tomorrow's meeting for all of you to look at. It's quite lengthy. I think it's 40 pages, 37 pages long. And I did send out an email to Staff Affairs outlining the things that are still being considered. And they're the same things I talked about last fall, last spring that weren't implemented.
They are moving forward with the tobacco surcharge in FY13. There's some real concerns on the committee about how they're going to manage the paperwork that goes with it, because every one of us as an employee has to do an affidavit that says we are not using tobacco. And who's, you know, that's a tremendous load to HR, to somebody somewhere. And how they're going to track it, they, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the smoking, the tobacco surcharge, and but it appears they want to, the statewide is going to move forward with it. President Gamble supports it. So get ready for it. We know we're going to get an increase in our contribution next year, and some of the things they're talking about, and no decision has been made on any of these. And I list, they're all listed in this, and I really hate taking up everyone's time to go through them again. If you want to talk to me about it, grab me. I don't know. Does anybody want to hear about the 11 items or 10 items that they're still looking at?
Well, I have a few questions about the tobacco surcharge.
Go ahead.
About which one? The tobacco surcharge. What are the consequences for saying you don't smoke and then getting being reported?
Well, they aren't. One of the things that they've talked about is not encouraging your fellow workers to tattletale on you. Naomi, I don't know.
Yeah,
they
haven't
have
addressed
no, that, this is one of the big things with that. There are no definite answers. It's very frustrating.
It's my understanding that, one, that this is, in fact, going to happen,
yes.
One, and two, that the role of JHCC and the Staff Healthcare Committee at this point is simply to help with the paperwork for implementing it. And so, I mean, I think that I still think it's worthwhile to come out in opposition, and I think it may be if the noise is loud enough, he'll listen. President Gamble will listen, but maybe not. There is one other thing to keep in mind as to the premiums for next year. Because these fall along the lines of the collective bargaining agreements with the unions, the premium, as I think I've told you before, the ratio of university covered expenses to employee covered expenses is 83-17. So the university covers 83% of the total cost of health care, and employees cover 17% of the total cost of health care. That's where we are in this fiscal year. The intent is to stay that ratio beginning in July 1 in FY13. But keep in mind that's of a total cost. So if the total costs go up, while our ratio will stay the same, our premiums will go up. The question that is still unknown is by how much. So when you're talking about health care, keep in mind, and over the course of the collective bargaining agreements over the next 3 years, we will move to 80-20. That's a part of the agreement. So in addition to the total cost increases that will come to us as our percentage is going up.
Will it be after 3 years that the percentage goes up?
No, over the course of the agreement. I think it's by the end of the CBA, by the end of the current contracts that they have with the unions, we'll be at 80-20. So one thing to, you know, to be aware of, one is that our portion will increase no matter what. But then when we're looking at the changes to the program, that's going to add to the total cost. Look at how it adds to the total cost. Then in addition, look at the other thing which happened with our deductibles. They shifted that from their cost to ours. My deductible triples. So when you're looking at the information that Carol sends out, you look at it from all those aspects, all three ways that they're going to get it to us in the next 3 years.
You touched on deductibles. It seems to me that if you take a good portion of that out of the equation, or what constitutes what the university is charged at 83-17, that isn't included.
Right.
for what we've paid up to the point where we hit our deductible or maximum out of pocket. So it seems to me our rates ought to be going down, not up.
You would.
And I see in this report, everything is talking about the different programs and stuff, but I think that we need to start looking at what actual costs were. And one indicator I actually asked Beth to see if we can get some numbers, maybe the healthcare folks have already seen these, is what the usage pattern has been by quarter, because there are quarterly reports that come out. And I wanted to see particularly what the last quarter of the last fiscal year was, because that's when everybody was racing to get all these things done ahead of time. And I'm expecting to see a pretty huge spike. And I saw some oblique reference to that, and it seems to me that that's part of what goes into the equation as well, but it's skewed.
Mm-hmm.
And this we're too early in this year to be making that determination.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is a couple of things were on the table from last year. For example, the medical tourism. We don't have enough information on that. We'll get it. And here we're hearing again this year, I'm sorry, we need more information. We'll get it. Okay. And maybe for the tobacco surcharge, we can have Consova do the verification. And we can all wear little stars to prove that we're this way. And that way our employees will know that we are certified as we've signed our affidavit. I mean, it's just
this fun. Is Robert Mackey. Something I would suggest is that in the compensation committee, we spoke about the need for a market competitiveness study to see where our wages compare to those of other state and federal agencies, to see if we're truly lagging behind as many of us think that we are. I would recommend that benefits also request a competitiveness study, because I think we're getting hit with a double whammy. Maybe we're not, but we don't have the data to prove that one way or another, and I think it'd be useful to prod that data.
It's my intent through Staff Alliance to request, and this came from Staff Affairs last spring, a healthcare task force to look at that, to look at our overall. You know, what we do now in Joint Healthcare Committee and the Staff Healthcare Committee is respond. It's reactive. It's more reactive than proactive. And urging a task force is to let's look at our overall package and how does it compare and what's working in other places and what variations might we be able to put in place that would work here. We'll make that proposal to President Gamble, and we'll see where it goes from there. But that is our request was that it be empowered by President Gamble, and that these people aren't, this is a priority for them. It's not staff doing this over and above their regular jobs and so on.
Thank you.
One other thing, Joint Healthcare Committee is meeting as we speak. So tomorrow's Staff Healthcare Committee should be a really, truly lively discussion, and all those that are on, that have been appointed by Staff Alliance or UAF, I hope and encourage you to attend tomorrow. And also others that are interested in this, tomorrow should be a good discussion because Joint Healthcare meets today. And as I said, there's a push to get decisions made by January.
Is there any replacement for Mike Humphrey's functions?
No, at this point it's Beth. It's Beth Boehner is taking. Beth with Erica are working together to cover that. And I met with Beth yesterday afternoon, and she said there's no decision yet on how quickly or the next step, if they'll replace him quickly or if they'll be.
Okay, well, she gave up the labor relations portfolio, so she has plenty of time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there further questions for Carol? So I think we have a really good group of people working on staff healthcare with from UAF right now. So I'm really pleased about that, and hope that the communication coming back to this group will serve as a nice point for conversation here.
I would also thank you, but I would also say that as documentation or meeting information comes. Can we disseminate that to staff council so we can
sure,
all be informed?
Yep. Yeah, and if there's things that you want disseminated before the staff council meeting, Carol and Carolyn and Maria and Kat, please send it to Nicole and she can send it out so people have time to think about it beforehand. But we really appreciate the written the written
actually,
feedback.
I just got this yesterday, the one that I attached.
Okay,
so.
Great.
And it might also be helpful for everyone to be aware of the URL that statewide HR has for staff health care discussions. And I think we need to send that out as a reminder to everyone. Some of these attachments are,
long.
They're huge. So, you know, I wouldn't want to plug your email, but I would suggest regularly checking in also to the website. And we'll get it out.
I think it's also beneficial if we can send individual if each one of the representatives get individual links to things like that we could share with the members of
mm-hmm.
our organization.
Definitely.
So that, because when they get, you know, our newsletter at the GI goes out and I have a link in there to our governance page. But I think that individual emails where people can see that we are actually doing things and wanting to get feedback is really important.
Absolutely. That's a good reminder for everybody. Okay, we'll move on to Compensation Committee, and Maria has already talked about that and left us with a draft letter. We're adding Naomi as an alternate to that committee. Are there any other questions for Robert? Or Robert, do you want to say anything about Compensation Committee? Maria has presented the draft to us earlier when I think you weren't quite online yet, so we've had a chance to discuss the letter and talk about the Compensation Committee work. But Robert, do you have anything else to add to that?
The only thing I just want to pull out is that Maria and I tended to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, and we really collaborated yesterday and really, I think, put together a strong letter. And I just hope the rest of the staff council recognizes and appreciates the final product.
Thank you, Robert. Yes, and we did mention several times that we were appreciative of the work that Maria and the rest of you have done on this, and Juella also from the Alliance perspective was very thankful for what you've put together, and I think this will carry us well. What I'd like to do for external committee reports or the external committee section is just to verify that we know who is representing each of these committees. We've asked that written reports are done for all the committees that have met, and if they haven't met, we've stated has not met yet. So I'd just like to quickly run down these and make sure that we have all the right information. So Master Planning Committee is Gary Newman.
Right. They need to update the membership on their website.
Okay.
That was pointed out to Derek, he's going to work on that, and we're going to discuss that tomorrow. One thing I had noted here, I wasn't submitting notes themselves, but basically I'd like to say see notes, and then I have a little more specific, Earl, to go to where our meeting notes are. And they're
Great.
Being updated frequently now, so for our biweekly meeting, so that's, I think that's good.
Thank you. That reminds me of something else, too. If you're on one of these committees, if you could touch base with Nicole and let us know what the terms of your committee are, that would be very helpful. We're trying to update that as well. And this is all just Nicole and myself and Juella trying to make sure that we are completely organized and trying to find information that has been a little bit difficult to find since Nicole's come on. So if you could tell Nicole, touch base with Nicole and just say these are the terms of my appointment. Parking Advisory Committee, Sean, I know you emailed me back and said that you're all set with that, right? And you have not met yet. Chancellor's Diversity Action Committee, right now Juella is on that committee. Ginny Kinney has stepped down because of work stuff. So we need one more person for the Chancellor's Diversity Action Committee. Juella, do you want to say anything about that committee?
Oh, I will say that Mary Sue has sent me an email after reading my report volunteering to serve. Is there anyone else that might be interested in serving on this committee?
What is the committee?
The Chancellor's Diversity Action Committee. It's a Chancellor's Advisory Committee for essentially all things on diversity on campus and at the rural campuses as well. It's made up of faculty, staff, and student representation from various organizations. Staff Council has two seats on this committee. Ginny has stepped down. It is my intent to step down after the October meeting, so there will be another seat available then as well. We are in the process. If you look at my report, this committee has great opportunity before it with a chief diversity officer, a shift from Erlina's position as an EEO officer to, she's retiring again in January. And we have a chief diversity officer that we're in the process of recruiting. And then we also have the data analysis off of the campus climate survey that we did last year. I think I told you all we had almost 1,000 responses to that survey. And the chancellor has committed some resources to truly, really launch a great diversity initiative here this year on campus. And essentially that's what and also Kate has so kindly agreed to co-chair CDAC this year. And it looks like she wants to say something, add to it.
Cool. Did you have more questions? Because this was, I have an email from Ross Embler, who is a staff member. He's with the annual giving coordinator. He's very interested in serving on CDAC. His sociology and communication are his backgrounds, and he's been hearing about it. He's interested in it, and I think that that's one of the committees where the person doesn't have to be on staff council to represent staff council, right?
I think the CDAC bylaws state that they're on behalf of, and who appoints them is the president of staff council. So, but I think, you know, if it's all right with the body as a whole, that's an option.
So it sounds like we have one seat that's open now. We'll have another seat that's probably open soon. My suggestion would be to for this first one, since she is on staff council and has indicated interest, and then when that second one comes up, maybe we have Ross in our minds and somebody else from staff council if they wanted to as well. Does that sound okay?
Are there any openings in his unit? I mean, if he's interested in being engaged, then, you know, perhaps that's an opportunity that we should seize. I mean,
good point.
The development office is under the chancellor, the chancellor's unit, I believe, which is...
Can you speak closer to the mic? We can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what the staffing level is of that unit that Ross is in, but we might suggest that he just simply become an alternate or fill a seat if there is a vacancy.
Kate, will you follow up with him and have that conversation?
Yeah, sure will. Great. And it does look like there's several seats in that unit that are open, so that could be an opportunity for everybody. So I think we will add Mary Sue, if there's no opposition to that, add Mary Sue to that committee for now. And there's other committees that need to be filled as well, so don't despair if you had your eye on CDAC. Student Recreation Center Board, Carol?
They have not met. It sounds like there's some changes coming, maybe.
Yes. Okay.
No going on then.
Chancellor's Planning and Budget Committee, we need a representative for that, and I think that's something that Juella has done in the past. Is that right?
Right, and I served on that last spring. It is a spring semester, generally towards the end of the spring semester. You could meet weekly for 4, 5, 6 weeks. It depends on the provost. She's the chair of that committee, and there are several deans and directors on it as well. And the intent of the committee is generally they look at the performance-based budgeting funding. So that's a little bit of money that everybody puts into a pot, and then it's distributed based on performance or how good of a proposal you put forward and so on. So essentially what you do as a part of this committee is prioritize who should get the funding, the PBB funding, and then if any of those particular projects or proposals should become a part of the actual budget request itself and not a one-time funding through PBB and so on. So I think I started mid-April and went into mid-May easily, maybe even in the end of May last year. So it is just the spring semester.
So is there somebody who would like to volunteer for that committee?
I'll do it.
Sean?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And the Chancellor's Advisory Committee for the Naming of Campus Facilities, I think, is not a committee that meets regularly. Maria has been doing it in the past because the Chancellor appointed her, so we need to fill that spot. Is there somebody that would like to take on the Chancellor's Advisory Committee for the Naming of Campus Facilities.
And you'll get to name the Life Sciences.
Exactly.
Building.
The Life Sciences Building will be a fun project for somebody on that committee this year. Carol? Okay. Accreditation Steering Committee, Kate has been working hard on that for several years now.
The report was sent out late yesterday, so you should have that attachment or see it in your email if you didn't. Please do look at the accreditation website because the evaluation team will be here October 3rd through 5th. You might be asked by one of them about something. You can also go to forums, which the accreditation team will be doing, the evaluation team. It's a really big deal. I mean, we've got to get accredited. We're hoping we will be accredited, but we need to be accredited so that all of us have jobs. So take a look at the accreditation website, www.uaf.edu/accreditation, so that you know what we've said, and hopefully you can put in some good words if you run into the evaluation team.
Thanks, Kate. Next one would be the Meritorious Award Committee. That's something that Maria has been on for the last year. That also meets irregularly, and it addresses one award called the Meritorious Award. Is there somebody that would like to step up for that? Excellent. Claudia. Thank you. Tab is Walker Wheeler. And Walker, are you still with us? Okay, Family Friendly Task Force, Walker Wheeler and Heather Levengood. I think I've confirmed with both of them. Intercollegiate Athletic Council is myself and Heather. We have not met for a couple of months. The RISE Board is Mayanna Bean. People's Endowment Fund Committee is a new committee that I think the Provost's office is in charge of. Jennifer Hoppo called me last week or the week before and asked if we would supply a staff member for that committee. That's an endowment fund that's been created, and they need a small committee to determine how that money is going to be spent. And I think you'll probably work with the Provost.
I actually used to serve as secretary on that group in an official capacity in my role in development. Just so you guys know, that endowment is large. It's almost $100,000 in the principal. Those funds are meant to support things that we can't fund through our Fund 1. So some of the ice sculptures on campus, things like that, some of the student projects, it's really sort of the things that are non-traditional but still add to value to staff. It's specifically for employees of the university to submit proposals. They don't have to be tied to your job. So, Sean, if you decide you want to do a painting project with a bunch of students, even if it's not tied to your work, you can submit a proposal. It's pretty fun. There are a lot of really interesting proposals that come through it, especially from student groups. And so I would be happy to serve on that, but I wanted to make sure you all had a little bit of background on it to know that you can also submit proposals even if you don't serve on that committee.
I will say that Jennifer was very excited about having a staff member, so I'd hate to not fill this seat. So if there's anybody online who would like to be part of the People's Endowment Fund Committee, is there somebody online who would like to volunteer for that?
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'd like to do it. I've done it before, so that's fine.
I'm glad you finally stepped up for something, Naomi. Communication Committee, John Clendenin is going to organize that. For the Ad Hoc Committee reports, Joelle and Nicole and I have just talked about making sure that you are aware of the committees that are going to come up that we're going to need people for. I don't think we need to necessarily fill them right now, but things like the Calendar Committee, the Administrative Review Committee, and the Awards Committee will be reconstituted when we need them. Staff Appreciation Day, I talked to Ashley Monroe yesterday, and she's willing to co-chair Staff Appreciation Day with Maria, which is a huge job, and I'm very thankful that both of them will do that, and we'll be counting on all of you to help with that as well. Any other committees that we have forgotten to add to our very long list of committees?
I don't want to add one, but just the calendar committee, I think in October is usually about when we do get started on that, so it might actually be good to get some volunteers on it.
Okay. Are there people who would like to volunteer for the calendar committee? Gary? Great. And Brad? Okay.
I can speak to that. I served a number of years. The calendar that you get every year at the end of the year is they produce that. So they go out and solicit photos, do design ideas, try to get somebody to do the InDesign work or however it's done, and again get printing services to print it out, and then it falls to Nicole here to just get them distributed.
Great, thank you.
And do you need more people for that committee?
Yes, and who is that?
This is Sarah Batiste.
Sarah, great, thank you.
Yep.
I'll add you with Gary and Brad.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, thank you for indulging me to run through each one of those individually. And we will now hit roundtable discussion a couple minutes early, so